When I look at Buffalo now, I look at not the Tage Thompsons and the Dalenes, because I think you know what you're getting from those guys. It's the continued growth of Benson. It's the continued growth of Doan. It's Quinn. It's Hellenius. Austin looked really good before he got hurt. Kulik got hurt, missed time with the blood clots. Even Owen Power. Like, Power to me took huge steps last year. I was so impressed with what I saw in the playoffs. I think for that team, those guys have to continue to go, and the other guys have to make the same jumps that Benson and Doan have. That's how I think Buffalo gets better.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet with kind of an overall on the Sabres so far. 803-0550 is the number. We'll kind of pick that apart in a moment. Just want to share some news that is at least new to me. I don't know. I can't tell here how old this post is. Within a half an hour here. The Dodgers have announced that Shohei Ohtani is going to miss a start tonight against Arizona due to continued irritation in his left knee. He's going to serve as the DH for the rest of the weekend. But following this series with Arizona, there will be what they're calling some interventions on his knee to put him in the best position for the second half of the season. So, because of that, he is not going to be traveling to Philadelphia to take part in any of the All-Star Game festivities, which is kind of, that's a bummer. I'm mentioning it because he's, to me, transcendent in baseball and in sports. He's such an intriguing and exciting personality and player and performer that I will watch the All-Star Game, and I will miss Ohtani being there. It only means he was going to have one or two at-bats. Either we couldn't have seen him pitching. I mean, I don't know if that was going to happen this year or not. Probably not. But nonetheless, kind of a bummer there that he is going to miss that. Okay, on the Sabres, I think I like the defense bet a lot. I think that it's a solid bet. And, you know, I'm listening to Friedman there, and I think, you know, we're in a position here where it feels like we might be sort of forced to make friends with the idea that nothing big is coming, at least not up top, not up front. I don't hear anything about that. I don't think that is something that is going to happen. I believe that they were interested in Matthew Knies, but I think that opportunity has come and gone. Robert Thomas got pulled back from the trade market, and there wasn't much question about his availability. It seemed very clear that St. Louis intended to keep him, which made plenty of sense. It was always kind of weird that he was being shopped to begin with. And I'd say that something can happen, and that you can't get a guy that gets traded that no one's been talking about and surprises you like, oh, there's my number one center. It's a very hard position to find and fill, which is what makes Larkin so intriguing and appealing. But unfortunately, he's choosing to only have now four teams on his trade list, and the Sabres are not one of them, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. So, like I was talking with Paul, almost by process of elimination here, I've ended up at, okay, well, the forward isn't coming. I did what I needed to do on defense, and I, you know, they could have done something bigger, I suppose, with a bigger name that was more familiar. But I do like the bets they've made on the blue line. I think Zellweger moves around the ice well enough and has a good enough offensive toolbox that I think he can hold up playing with Power. I think, I hope. I mean, we'll see. I mean, last year at this time, we thought Michael Kesslering was going to play 20 minutes a night with Owen Power, and that never, ever, ever, ever got off the ground. I mean, it just did not happen. So that was pretty much the end of that. The fact that really what happened there mostly was that Samuelson ascended back to top pair caliber with Dahlin, moving Byram off of that and putting him with Power, and then they took off, and the four of them just had a great year. I think Zellweger offensively can hold that up, and there are some defensive shortcomings to be worried about, but frankly, those were there with Byram too. So I think it's a good bet, and I like the Crevier idea, the big kid with the hard shot, as a fallback for the top four, and who knows, maybe he wins the job. I don't know. Paul and I have gone around and around on left hand, right hand, and that maybe Crevier will be someone that gets paired with Power. We'll see. I'm certainly open-minded to that, but I like the Zellweger bet. So I don't think I need the reason I left supplementing the defense corps off of my poll when I made it today, because I just don't think they need another guy there. I think they're good with sort of trying to bridge their way to whomever ends up still being here. Kleber, Mertka, and we'll see how long it takes Rudolph to show up, the kid they just drafted fourth overall. He's going to play at the University of Denver. Kleber might be a name that is somewhat unknown to Sabres fans because he was a second-round pick, and he's been playing in college, and he's just not someone that I think casual Sabres fans or even more, you know, less casual, like more like big fans. Not sure how many people have been thinking about him and anticipating him, but he was the defensive defenseman of the year playing at, I think it's North Dakota State. And in the conference, he was the defensive defenseman of the year. The first time a sophomore has ever won that award, by the way. He's going back to college. Paul's got a piece up at WGR550.com telling you all this, but I'll just give you the cliff notes. He's going back to college in part because he says the Sabres have told him to work on his offensive game. And so he's gonna try to put work in there and try to shore that up. But right now, he's looking like, you know, next year at this time, it'll be, okay, Rochester, or can he win a job? I think Mertka's going to go to Rochester this year, and we'll see how long he takes to get here. And then, again, Rudolph said he wants to play 1 year. He's open to playing two, but he's hoping that he can get the development in he needs at the University of Denver. Super powerhouse program. I mean, they'll be in the national title chase for sure. And so he'll get big minutes, probably important minutes, and maybe even high pressure, high leverage, you know, championship type minutes, which will be a great experience for him. And maybe he's someone that's in the mix next year. But either way, they did not need to make a move for Darren Radish. They did not need to trade for Morgan Riley's contract. They did not need to commit resources, assets, trading away, and cap room for a defenseman to replace Byram. I think the bet they're making is that these two guys, one of the two, I think both are going to play, Crevier and Zellweger. One of the two takes that spot, and that they still are able to function. I'm thinking mostly about the offensive zone when I talk about this, by the way. Especially that's why I favor Zellweger for this spot, is because he's got that part of his game. And so I'm up for that. And it's why I did not want to go any kind of big game hunting for a defenseman. Like, I was never interested in John Carlson. I've loved John Carlson as a player his whole career, going all the way back to when he was playing World Juniors for Team USA. I've liked his game a lot. I just didn't need to commit resources there. Although that would have been a short-term deal. Maybe that would have fit a little better than something with longer term on a contract. But nonetheless, I like the bets they've made on defense is the point. So I seem like I'm locked out on forward, right? And I didn't need to do anything more than what I've done on D, which leaves you at goalie. And, you know, that still seems like a situation that Winnipeg might want to get relieved. And it felt like maybe things were close enough that we learned that Hellebuck was willing to come here, willing to waive his no trade. That, to me, indicates that there was some real, maybe some fire even, not just smoke, behind a deal getting done there, but it didn't. For whatever reason, they were not able to get it done. And as I've mentioned a few times, things got a little more complicated for them because no trades kick in for guys on your roster now, like Lukanen. And if he was included in that trade package, who knows if that's something that now he's able to block, and does that complicate things? Can you put together a package that doesn't include him? Maybe you still can, because the pressure point here, like, I'm all right if they don't do anything now as far as the goaltending goes, because I don't think the goaltending really hurt them, certainly during the regular season. And I don't even know. To me, they didn't lose game seven because the goalie was bad. It was a bad-looking goal that I think Connor Hellebuyck or Sergei Bobrovsky or anybody, Dominic Hasek's given up that goal. So knuckleball, what are you going to do? It looks bad, but I don't think it makes the goalie bad necessarily. So the tandem was excellent for them last year, and I could see running it back. So if you can't get a deal done, I'm not going to throw a fit or anything, but I am going to sit back and go, where have I improved? Even if it's marginally, where have I gotten better? Like, what's going to be better for me is just the hope that, like Friedman was saying, all the kids, like they all take a step, and that replaces cumulatively what you were getting from Alex Tuch. And look, maybe that works, but it doesn't feel like they're handling the offseason like the contender that they were. They allowed themselves to lose Tuch. They chose that. I mean, they could have kept him. They could have paid the freight. You want to defend them not doing it? Okay. But they're making a bet on guys who've played, just not a ton of hockey yet in the NHL. And especially you think about Kulik up top and Norris. And what am I really going to get there? I like Norris's game a ton, but I have so little reason to believe he's going to play 60 games even. I mean, he just misses time year over year over year now that I go into the year hoping for 60. I think if I get 60 games from him, I might get 60 points, and that could really help. But I don't know, man. Like with him being injury prone, Kulik's got to be a question mark. I'm just a little bit more worried than I wanted to be about where they're at roster wise, which sort of circles me back to, I know trading for a goalie doesn't address those situations, but it does give you something that I think you can at least represent. This is where we think we've improved. Again, even though I don't think goaltending was a weakness, you can at least, we got one of the best goalies on earth on our team now. And just taking it at face value, like, okay, I can buy I can buy that you're telling me that that's going to make you better. You might be right. But there's just a little too much standing still here is really the point that I'm at right now. There just wasn't enough done. I just kept thinking there was going to be more. And I know I felt that same way last year after Paterka got traded. Well, okay, well, what's next? And the next never came. And what happened is Josh Doan fell in our laps and became like a folk hero in half a season. He's got a new contract and he's a cornerstone. And so, maybe that happens again with what they've got in the pipeline here. We'll see. 803-0550, if you want to get in on the conversation here. Are you desperate for some sort of move here that represents an upgrade to the roster with the Sabres? We'll shift the football at the top of the hour. Shift, I said. Aaron Quinn from Cover One will be with us in for the 5 o'clock hour, the top of the hour segment. So do stay tuned for that. Mike is away this week. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.